Yes, this is the 24th of April, and it's some time has gone since I made the other little videos which you've seen just now. And I discovered that I had left something fairly valuable out. So I will tell you that. The first thing I would say is, looking at what I've said before, the conclusions I draw from what I've told you is that homosexuality and pedophiliality, if there is such a word, can come from earlier this life experiences. I was lucky in that I had parents who were very friendly, and I didn't have any traumatic experiences with regard to sex, except for the one I named. And so really I'm a lucky fellow. So the thing I wanted to tell you, which I found I left out from the whole thing that I've just, which you've just heard, is, comes in the longer, and but I tried to keep it as short as possible version, as follows. I've told you that from the age of 14 till about the age of 60, I couldn't sleep without masturbating. This is not entirely true, because there was a period in 1970 where I worked in Scientology Publications org, and we worked in Copenhagen, and we lived in the north of Zealand, north of it's something like 20, 30 kilometers north of Copenhagen, and we used to drive backwards and forwards in a van every day, in a minibus. I was the driver of this minibus, and the thing was so arranged that the place where we slept, a sort of villa, large house where we lived, if the minibus drove us there at night, we had about 6 hours sleep, and then we could drive in again in the morning, and I was the chauffeur. So while the other blokes and women slept in the van, I sort of had to stay awake. So that's to say, for a period of about 6 months, I got only 6 hours sleep a night. And under those circumstances, it was very easy to go to sleep without bothering to masturbate. The result of this long term was that my foreskin, with lacking being drawn back to masturbate, it narrowed, and 3 or 4 years later, when I'd left pubs org, or left full-time staff in a Scientology org, I was aware of this, and it was a suboptimum condition. So I went to the doctor, and he referred me to a specialist, and the specialist made a small operation on my penis and on the foreskin, and I could again draw the foreskin back. That was fair enough. Not to go into too much detail, but the point was, it was a rather primitive operation, and the thing, the wound had to heal up, and during the time that it healed up, I urinated, and the urine came on the wounded bit, and this apparently, possibly, produced a sort of infection there, and I got a sort of swelling there in the foreskin, and I remember I went to the doctor and showed it to him, and he said, it wasn't very large at that time, and he said, don't bother about it, if it gets worse, come and let me know. I came and let him know about a year or 2 years later, and the thing had grown worse. And I was sent to a hospital, and they removed a tumour from that point, a cancer. and all was well and got it good, and it was gone. However, this was on the foreskin, on the actual head of the penis, the glands, two or three years later, a sort of growth appeared, which I considered a little bit suboptimum. So I toddled off to the doctor, and the doctor referred me to the hospital, and the hospital, I think, let it grow a bit and examined it. I can't remember the details, but anyway, the result of it was that I was taken in for an operation. This time it was a full anaesthetic, and they took this cancer away, and I went away again, and the thing was healed up. This time it was handled a bit better. I had a catheter, so didn't get any urine in the thing. But 2 years later, or 3 or 4 years later, another cancer occurred. This seemed to be a recurring thing. So again, I went to the hospital, and this time had gone by, and I suppose they'd improved their techniques, and I had a local anaesthetic, and just went in and was there for about 4 hours, and they fiddled around with my penis while I just sat there, and they took another cancer away. I would say that each time this happened, the cancer was taken to in the first time when I was under full anaesthetic, the cancer was taken to a laboratory, and they found it was a malignant cancer, and so they operated on me a bit more and took a bit more away just to be on the safe side. So anyway, this last cancer was taken away, and after 2 or 3 years, another cancer appeared, and I went into the hospital and made a appointment to have this one removed. But this was the time when I was having this auditing I mentioned, telephone auditing, approximately an hour a day, and we were talking about sex. Nothing to do with the penis, really, just all these sex things I've talked about earlier. And we did this, and as the time approached for me to have this cancer removed, well, it removed itself, so to speak. So I rang the hospital up and cancelled the appointment and had an appointment later for an examination, and the examination confirmed that there wasn't any cancer there. And I had another appointment another year or so later, and he still couldn't find a cancer, and that was the thing. And that really is the end of the story. It's interesting in the fact that I never really got worried about cancer. I think when you get worried about cancer, maybe it's what you resist, you get. But I wasn't resisting cancer. I was maybe resisting all sorts of small things in the area of sex. So you can take this as you find it. I don't know that I draw any large conclusion from it, except for the fact that there was a coincidental vanishment of a cancer on the penis, coincident with a fairly extensive period of auditing on the question of sex. And that, I hope, concludes this. What we're doing here is a sort of first attempt at making videos, and although you might see this later than the other ones I hope to make, this is the sort of trial run. And I would give my thanks to Lars Peter Schultz, who is the cameraman and has been sitting quietly in the background. And this is the end. Thank you for listening, seeing, and observing.